in the limelight.
In the years after 2001, the United States and its allies created the most aid-dependent state in the world. Upon withdrawal, almost all of this aid has been cut, and further sanctions limit almost all financial transactions with the country. Stay with us for an article in this regard, written by Matthias Gresdal-Hammer, writer. This article is published under the heading, U.S. sanctions are causing a humanitarian disaster in Afghanistan. Stay tuned for more. The people of Afghanistan are starving. A perfect storm of droughts, economic implosion, and the suspension of most development aid have come together to create an increasingly volatile humanitarian catastrophe. As winter goes ahead, estimates suggest that as many as 22 million people will be close to starvation. In the years after 2001, the United States and its allies created the most aid-dependent state in the world. Upon withdrawal, almost all of this aid has been cut, and further sanctions limit almost all financial transactions with the country. As a recent report from the International Crisis Group put it, donors' decisions to cut off all but emergency aid is the biggest culprit of Afghanistan's dire situation. Indeed, one UN expert quoted in the report suggested that the sudden withdrawal of aid in Afghanistan is the greatest shock any modern economy has ever faced, as 43% of its GDP disappeared virtually overnight. The sanctions regime is so strict that many NGOs overcomply for fear of punishment. The specifics of these rules remain unclear, with one international business concluding that it could most likely pay regular taxes to the Taliban, but not fines for late payment, which are all but inevitable due to the collapse of the banking sector. Moreover, even humanitarian aid is dependent on basic state provisions such as cell phone towers, hospitals, and sanitation systems, which are currently all run by the cash-strapped Taliban and are not eligible to receive any aid. Sanctions, of course, are a tempting mechanism of statecraft. They come at a perceived minimal cost to the United States and have increasingly become one of America's favorite foreign policy tools. Even so, research on their usefulness is almost unanimous that they rarely succeed. Most notably, Robert Pape of the University of Chicago studied 115 cases of sanctions from 1914 to 1990. Revealing that in only 5% of cases did sanctions lead to the desired change in behavior. Researchers have since found some situations in which sanctions may be more effective, such as where the stakes are relatively low, for example, releasing political prisoners, when the sender and target don't foresee subsequent conflicts, and when the target state is democratic. Clearly, none of these criteria are met in this case. Domestically, Taliban can shore up its support by blaming the United States for its role in creating this economic crisis. So Survey experiments show that Afghan civilians are much more likely to blame external agents for their suffering than the Taliban already, and a brutal sanctions regime is only likely to add to that sentiment. Outside of Afghanistan, the consequences of the harsh sanctions will also be felt. Over the past few months, emigration to Europe has skyrocketed, with human traffickers telling journalists that their business has already doubled. As the situation only worsens, it's likely that these numbers will only increase. What might a reorientation on Afghanistan look like? Washington could also enact several more specific policy changes that would serve to alleviate Afghanistan's suffering. Currently, sanctions designed to punish the government are essentially being applied to the entire Afghan state. These could be limited to listed numbers of the members of Taliban rather than also impacting bureaucrats who have just stayed on in their roles after the takeover. Moreover, the existing sanctions regime only allows money for critical humanitarian relief to be sent to Afghanistan. Basic services such as healthcare, education, electricity, and water supply all fall outside of a strict criteria for emergency relief. Allowing more extensive aid provisions and reopening the World Bank's $1.5 billion Afghanistan Reconstruction Trust Fund to do this would go a long way to alleviate suffering. And finally, some mechanism for reopening Afghan financial services is necessary. This could take the form of reviving and closely monitoring the Afghan Central Bank, setting up an external central bank, or instituting large-scale currency swaps that the United Nations or World Bank could manage.